Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and today you're going to hear something very special. It's a message by Benny Hinn that he did live to my staff. And the reason is we are publishing his new book. It'll be out next April of 2022. It's called Mysteries of the Anointing. And one of the editors who's working closely with him was talking about what an amazing book this is. And Benny had to come into the office to go over it with her. And she asked him, would you be willing to minister to the staff? So we called everyone together, everyone who wanted to come, and most of the staff did. And it was just an amazing moment. And afterwards, I did the podcast that we put up yesterday. We talked about a lot of interesting things, especially the end of time and revival in America. But in this podcast, he talks about the anointing. And I think you'll enjoy it. It was so long, I'm actually breaking it into two parts, kind of the first half and the second half. So after the introduction, the theme song, I call it, you'll hear Benny ministering to my staff, and then I'll come back with a message at the end.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
I'm really excited. We're working on this new book, Mysteries of the Anointing. Let me tell you how it all came about. I've written Good Morning, Holy Spirit, The Anointing, and other books on the subject, but never thought in my life I would write something about the anointing I'm really writing now with Debbie, because I did not know it back then. And the reason we are calling it the Mysteries of the Anointing, because it is in many ways mysterious once you understand it. So I want to just say a big welcome to all the dear people watching us on social media. And we would like you all to know that the book, I think it comes out next year, right? April of 2022. And please be looking for it. And once I'm done talking, I know you would want a copy. Here's how it all began. 2010, 11 and 12 were the worst years of my life. And I don't want to go through all that happened, but my wife and I were divorced. Could have happened to anybody, frankly. And God brought us back together in 2013 and remarried the same wonderful girl I'm still married to now. We got married the first time, 1979, August, and Steve Strang was in my wedding, if you can believe it. It goes that, but we go way back. But her daddy was the pastor of Calvary Assembly, very anointed man, very, very powerful man. Sadly, in 1982, is it 81, he left the church. And I don't want to even talk about why, but he left the church. And it brought a lot of struggles in our home, not because of him leaving the church, it's because of what happened after he left the church. Well, anyways, so Sue and I continued living happily for a long, long time. We are very happy now. But about maybe 1990-something, in the mid-90s, is when the troubles began, and that's because we began OCC here in Orlando, 83, and the church went from zero to 10,000 in 3 years. So the pressure got really quite bad, on me, I mean, and the family. And then I began crusades all throughout the world. So anyways, you can just imagine all that came all at one time and caused a lot of ups and downs. And then the divorce happened. When the divorce happened, I did not realize God would put me in an amazing school of the Spirit. I went to school all over again, not knowing I was in school. What happened, I would be preaching while I was struggling with what was going on in our home, and the anointing would be more powerful at times than it used to be when I was young. And I was puzzled, like, how can God use me in this way when my own personal life is struggling? Now, I don't know if any of you went through any divorce, and I would beg you to not ever think about it, because it's very, very harmful and destructive to the family. My children suffered because of it. God has been very, very gracious to our family in that our children today are doing so well. My precious daughter Jessica, my firstborn, and Michael, her husband, have Jesus image that's growing throughout the world. My precious Lily is a pastor's wife in Tampa of a large church. Tashi has her own ministry in California. Joshua is now at Full Sail University. He is a top student learning musical engineering. So I think he's graduating this year and be making a lot of money. I hope he will be a donor to the ministry. Anyways, so it's a good story. It's a good story what God has done with us. But now those 3 years were not good at all. Lawyers got involved. The divorce was very, very expensive. And it cost $870,000 for the divorce. And a couple, to my amazement, paid for it. One of our partners, the Lord spoke to a precious family to pay my bills for the divorce. That was another amazing miracle. But I would be on the phone with lawyers. I hired a lawyer in Los Angeles, a woman, lady lawyer, and she would call me quite a bit, or I'd go see her in her office down in Central Plaza. And then we'd have to deal with Suzanne's lawyer. It was quite painful. And other things that I don't want to even talk about. But here I would be on the phone struggling with all this, and then that night go preach. Well, you probably can understand when somebody is struggling like that, your prayer life begins to die. Fellowship with God is not as strong as it should be because you're in survival mode. What really was great is I really got into the Word even deeper just to keep my peace, you know, mentally. But I would go preach and have the big, big meetings all over the world. And I would walk off that platform wondering, how could this be? Like, I didn't even pray today. Or I didn't even read the Word today. Why would God do this? There were times when my spiritual life was really in a bad place in those horrible 3 years. I mean, I had high moments, like we all have. But, dear Lord, I had a lot of bad ones, too. And I would see the anointing work in such a way, I could not figure it out. So finally I came to the conclusion, the anointing that comes on me when I preach has nothing to do with my life. It took that to show me that. Because we preachers, and I think most believers, never think about the difference. We think the anointing, we just go on with it. And then I had to look at the Bible. I said, okay. And I did say, I said, Lord, show me, am I right? Am I wrong? Is this something that maybe I shouldn't even look at? And I happened to be reading 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. I was reading the whole chapter and much, much more than that. And then I noticed even though in the past I would just keep going with the chapter, I said, wait a minute, I don't have this. Because it said, the anointing which abides in you, I'd like to read that to you. I think it'll be a very eye-opener for all of you to just notice how the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit gave us this truth. 1 John chapter 2. I like using now my iPad because my eyes are not what they used to be. So my Bible is colored everywhere and it's small print and you can't even read what it says sometimes. John was dealing, I'm fine. John was dealing at the time in the church with a heresy that was troubling the whole church. And the heresy was Arianism, denying the deity of the Lord. He did not come in the flesh and so on. And then he said this. And if you read that whole chapter, if you read verse 26, it says, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. So there was a problem of people being seduced, heresies and so on. He said, but the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Well, it struck me because I'm thinking, and I had taught about the anointing for ministry. I wrote a book about it. And I taught about it, but I never paid attention to this. The anointing which you have received of him abides in you. And it hit me like that. I thought, wait a minute. The anointing that comes on me does not abide. It comes, it goes. It comes when I preach. It lifts when I'm done. This says it abides. This must be a different one that I know about. And then it says, and you need not that any man teach you. Well, surely the anointing on a ministry or the anointing on an office has nothing to do with knowing the word, because there are anointed people out there who don't know the Bible, which I've met, by the way. And then I kept reading. I mean, they may know parts of the Bible, but they don't know the whole truth of the word. And here's what hit me. I thought, wait. When I got in the ministry, I did not know the Bible myself. I was still getting to know it. And this says that if I'm anointed, I don't need anyone to teach me. I need people to teach me now. I've always needed them to teach me. I'll always need them to teach me in the future. This is something different. And then it said, and the same anointing teacheth you of all things. Well, this can't be the one on my office. No way. And is truth, and there's no lie. In other words, the anointing he's talking about is one that protects you from deception. And as it hath taught you, you will abide in the Lord. And then I began looking to other scriptures, not just this. There's many of them. In fact, Debbie, you and I need to look for them throughout the word and say here. Because we've mentioned 1 John 2:27 often in the book. Well, anyways, shortly after, I'm sitting with Oral Roberts. And that's when it really began. That's when things began to... come together for me mentally. And I'm thinking, okay, I got to look into this more. At that time, he was living in Southern Cali, where I lived for a long time, 21 years. And he was there, not far from my home. We're actually neighbors. So I'd go see him a lot. I saw Oral sometimes twice a week, sometimes once a week, sometimes at least once every 2 weeks. And we'd bring food to him, and he'd come to the house, and his house, go to the studio. I mean, I saw him like a lot. And I would just go just to sit down with him. And at the time, especially when Evelyn was getting frail, you know, he would call me and say, can you come over? Let's have dinner. And I'd go over. And one day I'm sitting with him. Oh, dear Lord. When that man, sometimes he would say things to me in such an amazing way. One time, I'll tell you this one story quickly before I go on. I would go and say, pray for me. I'm going to have a crusade. And every single time I went overseas, every time I would go to his home, get on my knees, say, lay hands on me. I'm going to India. I'm going here. I'm going there. And he would go. He would always say, well, I'm with you. I'm going with you as you go and see those healings. I'm a part of it. And he was just so sweet and gracious. So John Jimenez invited me to go to Liberia. And I got a letter from the president of Liberia at the time. And about a week or two before the crusade, I was with Oral. And I said, I want you to pray for me. I'm going to Liberia. That time, he just stares at me. Doesn't say a word. Just stared and stared and stared till I got quite nervous. And I always would go see him about a week or two before I would have any big crusade and always pray. And, you know, everything was fine. That day, he looks at me and says, you go to Liberia, you'll come back in a casket, and God will judge you for dying early. And I went like this. I said, what? He said, if you go to Liberia, they're going to kill you, and God will judge you for dying early. I said, I'm not going. That was a week and a half or so before the crusade. I called John Jimenez. I said, I'm not going to Liberia. What? I said, Oral Roberts told me they're going to kill me if I go. What? This? And he went on and on. He got really upset. You don't believe that? I said, listen, this is Oral Roberts. And when Oral Roberts tells you, you're going to die. I'm not going. Boy, he really got upset. He said, the president sent you a letter. How can you do this to me and to the president and to the country? I said, look, the posters are everywhere. People are expecting you. I said, Pastor John, I'm telling you right now, here's what Oral, I told the whole thing. Do you know that president got toppled and a civil war started? Had I been there, I would have been killed by the opposition. And I came back home. I said, Doc, thank you. You saved my life. Now, I didn't go, of course, but when all this happened, I came to see him from the house. I said, dear God, well, I'm glad you listened, he said. So that was the kind of experience I had with that man over and over, more than once. So this one time I'm saying, okay, I'm going to ask him now a question I have got to ask this man of God before I change my mind. And I'm thinking about someone that used to preach and go have sex with women. And that man was highly anointed. And I would listen to him and weep. But he would go after he would preach and sleep with a girl. I didn't tell Oral, and he still to this day doesn't know who I was talking about. And I never told anybody who that man is. I can tell Steve privately someday, but I don't want it in the book either. I'm thinking about this one person, and I said, hey, Doc, I said, how can somebody preach with such an anointing that moves your heart and then go and do this? And I told him what. Without hesitation, he said, the anointing. So what? Did you say that? Say it again? The anointing. I was in shock. I said, explain that to me. He said, well, Benny, the anointing in your life and the anointing on your office are not the same. I said, you know what? I've just been thinking about this because of what I was going through. And then he said, the anointing on an office, if a man is not walking with God, that anointing will destroy him. I said, tell me more. He talked for probably 3 hours. And that's what this book started. And then he said, when that anointing comes on a man to preach, he said, do you notice they become loud? Yeah? Intense? Yes. Focused? Absolutely. He said, that anointing that comes on them stirs up their emotions and stirs up their physical strength, and that's all it does. One more time. He said, the anointing in your heart is the one that nourishes your being. It's the one that keeps you walking with God. And he went on and on with that. He said, now, if the anointing in you, in your heart, weakens as the Lord departs from you. He said, if you're living in sin, he said, that anointing inside of you is not going to stay strong. He said, you will weaken. And then he said, what happens is the anointing that comes on you, which is a gift, and being it's a gift, God will never take it back. He said, you can lose the one in your heart. You'll never lose the one on your office. Because the one on your office is God's gift. He said, now, what happens is, if the Lord departs, that anointing stays. And because it stays, it can destroy you without the Lord being with you. Man, I got like you right now. I was like glued. And then he said, the greatest men have fallen after the greatest moments under the anointing. I said, explain. And he went on and on. He said, do you remember Balaam? I said, oh, sure. He said, that man walked with God at one time. Later, he weakened in his heart. A mixture got in. He dealt in witchcraft, yet stayed anointed to prophesy. And then I said, okay, I'm going to dig right in here, and I'm going to find out a little more. And boy, did I ever find out more. I found in 1 Samuel 18, which Oral never told me, but this is something I began because I said, okay, this is all I want to hear. But here's what Oral said too that was amazing. He said, every one of us has at least one weakness. And he began talking like real openly with me. He said, you have at least one. I have at least one. He said, every human being on the planet has some weakness or maybe more than one weakness that nobody knows about except God. I said, you're right. He said, have you told your wife everything about you? No. Have you told your mother ever? No, nobody knows. I said, there are some things in me only God knows. He said, so it is with everyone. He said, that weakness in you that only God knows, as long as you're in the presence of the Lord, it is shriveled. He said, it has nowhere to go. He said, now, if you're not in the presence of the Lord, it's loose. And he went on giving me details. He said, some preachers have problems with women, some have problems with lying, and he went on through the list. He said, now, if that problem is not under control by the presence of God, he said, it's loose. He said, that anointing stirs the good and the bad when it comes on that man or that woman. And boy, things began to click in my head when he said that, because I remember having people at OCC, and they would sit next to me. One man in particular, I'll never forget this as long as I live. And I never even connected that with what Oral said till he said it. I had a guy come to OCC, mightily anointed. When he came, when he was preaching, he was finished preaching, he came, sat next to me. His face was red. he was really moved by, as God really used them. And he looks at me and says, you got some pretty women in this church. I'd like to know them. I thought, how can this man say that? He just finished ministering. He comes, sits, and the next thing he tells me isn't how good the Lord is or anything about Jesus. He says, you got some good, pretty women here. I want to meet them. I went, oh, brother. So when Oral said that, I said, oh, my Lord, that's why that guy said that. Because that weakness came up. It was stirred in him about women. And so Oral said, he said, the anointing on your office has nothing to do with your spirit, man. It only affects you physically, emotionally, and that's it. I said, okay, I want to know more about the one in me. That's the one that really, really, really matters. And so I did. I began looking at the word. And here's what I found. But let me just say something just before I go there. In 1 Samuel 18, Saul began prophesying by a demon when he tried to kill David. In 1 Samuel 19, he prophesies by the Spirit, but he's laying down naked on the floor. Interesting, huh? He can prophesy by a demon spirit. The next chapter, he prophesies by the Holy Spirit, but his action is not the Holy Spirit. It's a mixture. Mixtures are reality today. They were then, they are today. And I began looking at the whole Word of God on men that God used that had a mixture in them, from Balaam to Saul and others. But what I really focused on for those three amazing years, because they became amazing later, how God used it, because it all began with, how can God use me and I'm having all these struggles? Wow. I began studying the Word even more after those 3 years. So in those 3 years, it was like, wake up. Okay, this is not exactly what you've been thinking about the anointing. Sue and I get restored and remarried. Everything's beautiful. And then I said, Lord, I've got to know more about this. Right before Sue and I came back together, I'm walking in my room, in my bedroom, and the voice of the Lord had been silent for 3 years, nearly. And I hear him tell me, I'm just waiting for you to come back home. And I start crying. And my relationship, oh, you can't believe what happened after that. It was like falling in love all over again with him. And today, I'm not the same Benny that was then. I'm a different man because I've learned so much, and especially about the Lord himself, that has become my precious darling, and I mean that. So as I began looking at the anointing here, here's what I discovered. And I want you all to think with me. What happened to you when you got saved? Three things that you never even think about. Number one, you became hungry for God. Number two, everything in you believed Jesus is the Son of God. Everything in you knew he died and rose from the dead. And number three, you fell in love with him. How? Well, quite simple. The anointing within.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. It's actually the first half of the ministry at our staff. Podcasts are rarely over 30 minutes, and so I broke it into two 30-minute segments. So you'll want to come back again tomorrow to listen to the other half, or, you know, these podcasts stay up a long time, and at some point you'll just be able to go back and listen to the next podcast, because all the podcasts are in order going backwards. I'd like to tell you that my podcasts are continuing to grow. I'm up to about 11 million downloads. I'm doing some things to try to increase it. Having you share it with friends really helps. And also, if you go on iTunes and like it. Also, this podcast is not about my new books, but I am passionate to start a movement to get Christians and other conservatives to stand up to the cancel culture. So go on my website, stevestrangbooks.com. And check out not only my new book, Guide to Cancel Culture, but my other books as well. Thank you for listening to my podcast. And don't forget to listen to the other half tomorrow on the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, that's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.